Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend John Longer.
I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle. And as always, we are going to take on Wikipedia. We are going to rewrite the entirety of the website.
To the death.
To the death. Yes, we are going to murder it because the collection of our two brains is going to be far superior to that of the collective consciousness of the Wikipedia community.
Mine sure isn't in a great spot today.
Well, you know, that's okay. I believe in you.
We'll see. I mean, I arrived, I was just teaching a comedy writing class wherein I was having a hard time just saying sentences because my brain wants to kill me and I have a migraine and I'm on migraine drugs, not illegal drugs, but I'm on drugs.
Prescribed migraine drugs.
Prescribed drugs that are trying to stop my brain from killing me. I don't think migraines can kill you, but they sure feel like they could.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Wikipedia page for migraine would probably have a lot of information that still wouldn't help you through this moment right now.
Right. I would say, oh, that should be our topic, but I don't want it to be.
No.
It's already the topic.
It's true.
If I don't look at you or sit here with my eyes closed, don't take it personally.
Never do. You.
Yeah, I'm not great at eye contact normally. Yeah.
No, it's all good. I still love you.
But especially just because it's a bright room and my head hurts.
Yeah. So for those keeping score, right now we're losing. We've got 2 points. Wikipedia's got 3 points. And we've tied once, which means this is episode 7.
Do sports consider a tie half a point?
In hockey, a tie will... Well, they don't have ties anymore, but they used to have ties. If you go through what they call all of the, like, just the regular time, like the first through third period, and
sure.
You're tied at the end of that, you go into overtime. And if you get to overtime, you get 1 point in the standings regardless. If you ultimately win after a series of overtime periods and shootouts, you get an extra point. So you get 2 points. So it used to be a tie. They changed it. It's super convoluted. But
I would say our topic should be former Rangers commercial mascot Bobby Granger, as portrayed by my friend Kevin Crawley, for he is the reason that I know there are no longer ties in hockey, because he did a commercial with the announcers for the Rangers where they were calling a game and they announced that it ended in a tie, and he came out with scissors and he cut off their ties. And they said, "Bobby, why did you do that?" He said, "Didn't you hear? No more ties in hockey." A fun commercial.
I like that you're smiling and it distracted you from your pain for a moment.
That you just reminded me of.
Yeah, well, because I hated that commercial, the way you described it to me.
No, it's great.
I don't know.
The Rangers should hire my friend for more commercials.
I'm on board with that. I feel like the Rangers should just hire all of our friends for more things in general.
Yeah. Hire me to know... I know some hockey things, but in chess... When you keep track of a score, a draw, which is a tie,
right,
you get half a point for. So if we're playing a best of seven match,
right,
a draw is a half point each.
Huh. Look at that.
I always assumed other sports just worked the same way.
You assumed that athletic competition just mapped the rules of chess.
I mean, how points work. Not like in the game.
Sure, sure.
But to keep track. Like if I'm a baseball team and I'm playing the same other team for 7 games, I don't know.
That's okay. You want to do this? You want to do episode 7? You want to take on a topic and make a Wikipedia page off the top of our heads?
I do.
Okay.
Normally, I post to have people give me a random noun that they want to learn more about, but I didn't do that today.
And so I anticipated you wouldn't. And I did post that, but no one likes me. So at the time of this recording, there were no responses. So we had to improvise.
I've been pleasantly surprised the times that I've done it by the number of responses I get. But yeah, this is a long bad day for me. But we have in studio we have comedian Aaliyah Brown. So Aaliyah, what is a noun you would like to learn more about?
Velcro.
Okay, Aaliyah would like to learn about Velcro.
That's good.
Similar to an earlier episode,
where we learned about Whitcomb L. Judson's fantastic invention of the zipper.
Unless that was the one that I might have deleted by accident.
Oh, I hope not.
I don't remember.
Oh, man, we're tearing back the fourth wall here.
Yeah. So
we did a mini episode. It was really great, but it looks like it might have been deleted.
It may have been deleted because sometimes accidents happen.
Which is exactly why Velcro was invented, because accidents do happen. Yeah, right? When you need to bind something together without permanence, Velcro.
Yeah. Obviously, so history of Velcro.
Right.
Invented 1924 by two friends, Tommy Velocity and Jamie Crowbar.
Yeah. And they obviously made a portmanteau of their last names, and that's how they named
their
invention.
Started dating. Well, the thing about Velcro, the term came from tabloids, because when famous
couples,
material
right.
inventors, mm-hmm. got to remember those names I just said.
Tommy Velocity, which is one of the best names
Tommy Velocity
I've ever
and
heard.
Jamie Crowbar, when they started dating, the press is what it was. They just started calling them Velcro. And they were always together. They were very publicly affectionate to the point of, because this was, remember, the 1920s.
Right.
Fire hoses were turned on them.
Yeah. They're like, hey, get a room. Like, and then they turn the hoses.
Geez,
yeah.
You too. And people would have to pull them apart. And they hated it so much. They went, ah. And it made a ripping sound as they got pulled apart. They went, ah.
You know, the other day I was telling you that you needed more whimsy in your life, and I'm really glad that you took that note. Really glad.
Yeah. So when you tell Tommy Velocity and Jamie Crowbar apart, that's the sound that they would make, and they went, "Wow, we got it. Hang on. Let us out of jail for publicly humping. We got to get to the lab." And
there was like a smash cut Batman transition, like,
and they went down their poles. Well, because the thing is, Tommy Velocity is, he had a beard.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Very dense.
Right.
So dense.
Right.
You could lose yourself in this
And Jamie
beard.
Crowbar was...
Very spiky.
Very, like, yeah, she was... She had braces. She was one of the first people to ever have braces.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when they were canoodling in public, his gigantic beard would
well,
oftentimes...
Well, not gigantic.
Well, dense. It was dense.
Very dense.
Yeah. I mean, we all have seen pictures of Tommy Velocity.
Very dense. Yeah. Famously dense and curly beard.
I mean, lots of etchings and pointillistic drawings.
So much. There was a great Wall Street Journal stipple head print that really captured the denseness.
That's true. So, Velcro, 1924 invention of Tommy Velocity and mm-hmm. Jamie Crowbar, debuted at the World's Fair.
Yeah.
As inventions back in the beginning of the 20th century.
To.
They had to.
It was by law.
Yeah, it was, I believe it's in the Constitution. It's one of the lesser known amendments.
Yeah, it's 18B.
Yeah, the 18th B amendment.
Yeah.
Is that all new inventions, specifically garment-related, need to be unveiled at the World's Fair.
I wish I knew what the 18th Amendment was.
Yeah. Well, good thing that wasn't
so
our
suggestion,
right?
So I knew how
right?
insensitive we were being to whatever wrong that one righted. Or maybe it's a bad one.
It is. There are arguably some bad amendments.
There's some bad ones, but maybe not that one, but maybe that one.
Don't know. Admittedly, don't know. It's okay to admit when you don't know something.
I think I know what most of the amendments are, but just not the order.
Right. Because is the order really important? Not really.
No,
I mean,
they're
like
in
you
there.
Need it, you can reference the order. It's more important to know the
It's
intent.
Important to know so that, like, if you make a joke about Amendment 18B being something stupid, and then that's the one that says, like, black people can vote, then maybe we shouldn't tag that one with our stupid joke.
Yeah.
But it might not be that one.
Let's hope it's not.
I hope the 18th is just like...
I don't know, like public water supply should be poison free.
Right. Or like, oh, I don't know, maybe Speaker of the House should be third in line. Like some of that.
Yeah, some of that nonsense.
Some of that nonsense.
Huh. Yeah. Okay, so that's the history of Velcro. I mean, in a nutshell.
What's it made out of?
Beard follicles and right. braces.
Well, that's obviously.
So it is a it's a polymer, right? It's a protopolymer.
The prototype was just beard shavings and braces popping.
But they went into the Batcave and they made a protopolymer. And so it's two parts, right? There's like a loop. There's a loop on one side. Yeah. And there's another one that is like a micro hook that hooks into the open loop of the protopolymer.
Well, I think it's the fuzzy side.
That's the loop side.
I was going to say beard side.
Beard side, right.
The fuzz is looped thin polymer.
Mm-hmm. Protopolymer.
Protopolymer. Because, right, it's 1924. They didn't know anything about polymers.
Nah.
They don't know what MERS are back then, let alone a lot of them. So you have that, and then it's a harder plastic loop that it doesn't really hook. I could draw it for you, but this is an audio medium, so I'm going to paint a word picture.
Yeah, you paint.
It's like if you took thick plastic, not fishing line, that's too thin, but like a thin plastic tube that you could bend.
Okay.
And when you mm-hmm. bend, it mm-hmm. makes like a little loop, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you thread that through the material so you have a lot of these little loops, and then you just cut the loop right at the mm-hmm. apex. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you got two little hooks.
Yeah, if I could,
they're just smashing their
it's
heads
sort of
together.
Like picture a dense but soft beard mashing up against someone's bracelet.
Exactly,
teeth.
It's a perfect metaphor that I think really captures the exact real history of Velcro that is real.
Yeah. Okay, so filling out this Wikipedia page, we have history kind of nailed down. I feel like your word picture will reference the diagrams. There's going to be a diagram.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On this Wikipedia
page. There might even be
an animated GIF, maybe.
Ooh, there might even be some good close-up imagery.
I would like that. Nothing would make me happier
to really show those Velcro loops.
I think it's important to show advances in either the use and popularity of Velcro or in the, notable uses, right? Like, you once told me about how it's used extensively on the International Space Station and the space shuttle.
Oh, man, astronauts love it. Inspired by the work of Velocity and Crowbar, they're like, we need to get stuff up here to smash together real good because we're floating in a very fast box, and it's dangerous, and we're all going to die. But don't think about that. Just how do we get our toothbrush to stay still? I know. Velcro.
Right. And, I mean, we would be remiss if we didn't talk, if we go turn the clock even further back, children's shoes.
Yeah. Which I think we may have mentioned.
Yeah, you and I have spoken about it on or off of
I
this
think
podcast.
It might have been the
I'm
Zipper episode, because we talked about my
Which
daughter.
Which may or may not exist at this
right.
point.
We could just be reminiscing on a thing that is gone forever. But yes.
Well,
Velcro.
I mean, isn't that just what remembering family is?
So Velcro is a great replacement for shoelaces. Sometimes adult shoes have Velcro, and it's a great way to show that you don't know how to tie your shoes as an adult.
Let's do a sidebar here really quick. What's your opinion on the Velcro wallet?
Bad.
Just one word, bad?
Well,
you don't have to expand if you don't want to.
So, when I was a kid, I had a Velcro Super Mario Brothers wallet with a lenticular image of Mario jumping and hitting a coin.
I think you and I might have had the same childhood wallet, friend.
And I loved it.
Me too.
And then, I went to Dave Walter's birthday party at the Eric Cinema in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Oh, no.
For a afternoon screening of Spy Hard, the well-known Leslie Nielsen spy classic.
Right.
The worst, it's a worst top secret.
Okay.
They're like, hey, you know how this movie's real weird and not a lot of people know about it? Let's make one that's just not a little bit not as good.
Okay.
But here's the thing, Weird Al does the opening theme song, and that alone justifies that movie's existence. But I went into that film with a Mario Brothers wallet, and I left that day without one, and it must have fallen out of my pocket of my sweatpants.
So, in other words, you needed like Velcro on the outside of the wallet to hold it to your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lost my wallet, And I didn't have any money in it because I was 10 or whatever. Sure. I had the exact number of dollars I needed
right.
to get into the... No, I didn't.
No, it was a birthday party. Yeah,
the ticket was
yeah.
covered. But
yeah.
I probably had a couple bucks to buy like a box of Nerds or something.
Mm-hmm.
Nerds is my favorite movie candy because it makes the most noise.
I was going to say, it's a terrible movie candy. You're a monster.
I liked it because you could throw it at people.
You can throw anything at people.
Right, but Nerds travel well and they're little.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you throw a big Nerd at somebody, they know they got hit with something, but it doesn't hurt them, and then they can't pin it on you, except for you've got your little maraca box. But look, Nerds are a delicious candy treat.
Sure, sure.
I'm not going to apologize for that. But I lost my wallet at that Spy Hard screening, never to be seen again.
Did you check the lost and found?
Yes, we called.
Oh, wow.
And I made it very clear as a small child that I did not care about the probably dollar that was in there. I just wanted my Super Mario Brothers Velcro wallet back.
Right.
Anybody can keep my dollar and my probably, I don't know, Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan club card or something, whatever dumb garbage I had in there that I didn't, my Boy Scout ID card or something.
Right, right.
I didn't need that back.
No.
Boy Scouts know who I am.
This episode has taken a really dark and heavy tone.
I miss my wallet.
Yeah.
Is what it is. I don't carry a wallet anymore.
No? Do you like money clip? Are you like straight gangster?
I have a money clip because I am straight gangster, but I don't use it. I have my phone case has card slots built in, and I just typically don't carry cash anymore. And when I do, it's just folded in half and loose in my pocket.
Nice. Well, that's good to know if I ever need to rob you.
Yeah.
Or any of our listeners.
That I rarely have cash on me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not a good robbery target. And because I'm so intimidating.
All right, Velcro, to bring this back around. I also
right, so if I had Velcro on my sweatpants that I was
fine.
Probably wearing,
yeah.
and my Velcro wallet was Velcroed to my sweatpants.
It's honestly a passionate statement for Velcro being more places.
Right. That's the problem. It's not that it's in too many places. It's in not enough places.
Velcro feels like, and this won't be on the Wikipedia page, and I think it's a missed opportunity. Velcro plays an important role in bounce house culture, right? Like Velcro is the closing of the bounce house flap.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have the wall that you can jump into wearing a Velcro suit, which is definitely squarely in the bounce house family.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. What's up, Bounce You in Easton, Pennsylvania? Maybe get a big Velcro wall because I have to go to birthday parties at you sometimes and I would like to jump into a wall and be trapped there forever. Shout out to Bounce You. I have to go to a birthday party. It's a popular birthday party venue
right.
for my daughter.
Some of my coworkers talk about how they have to go to a lot of children's birthday parties there with their kids. And they're like all of these like tiered upgrades you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like a balloon drop.
You can do the balloon drop.
And it's just like every time they take their kid to like a party where they've done the upgrades, they like want to murder the parents because
right.
they're like, now my kid knows that's an option and I have
to
do
ooh,
that.
Ooh, you know what I just experienced last weekend at Bounce U? The party after the party I was attending
right.
opted for the balloon drop. So it's a big net that hangs over the children.
Right.
And they walk and they see all the big bouncing things and they get so excited and they see balloons and like, oh, it's about to get lit. They all expect the balloon drop. But then
it doesn't happen.
Ooh, get out of here, kids. That's not for you. Those aren't your balloons. No, no, no. Those are Jeremy's balloons. You get the hell out of here.
Oh, Jeremy, spoiled
friends,
son of a bitch.
Jeremy and his friends, they're going to have a great time.
Oh.
Then in the next room, bubble machine. It's out. The kids see it. They're like, bubbles? No, those are Jeremy's bubbles.
Oh, fuck you, Jeremy.
I know. This is not a knock on the parents of the party I was at. This is a direct attack on Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy is a spoiled little brat
yeah.
who deserves everything that's coming to him.
And Bounce You. Don't put the stuff out until
the next party.
Like, how long does it take to fill a balloon drop? Probably a long time. It's probably tedious as hell.
That's fair.
But I don't know. I had to look. My daughter didn't seem to notice the balloons or care, or I would be probably genuinely upset rather than comically upset. But, like, other kids noticed, and they thought there were going to be balloons, and then there
right.
weren't balloons.
Definitely not going to be on the Wikipedia page.
No.
For Velcro.
Wikipedia. Under Velcro, April 7th, 2018, Glenn Tickle, famous comedian, attended a birthday party and was upset about the balloon situation.
I love that you made yourself famous. You snuck it in there hoping no one would say anything, but I heard it. I heard it. I have one last nugget that I do think is in there.
Give me that nugget.
I feel like Velcro is a registered trademark of the 3M Corporation.
Ooh.
Right? Like, I feel like at some point they bought the patent to it and, like, they own the brand name.
Probably. Yeah, because I think Velcro... Well, yeah, because it was from
Tommy Velocity,
and Jamie Crowbar. So they would have trademarked that name.
Right. They have a patent on it. They would have trademarked it, and their estate probably sold it to 3M.
It's like Kleenex, right? It's where the brand name just becomes the name for the thing.
Or like Post-it notes. Like, I've got a pile on the desk here in the studio that are... They are a major office supply store brand, and in fact, they're called... They trademarked their own name. They're called Stickies.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. They're adhesive notes.
You know what you did.
You know what you did, Staples. All right, you want to pull it up?
R.I.P. Staples.
Should I... Anything else you want to add before we pull up the actual Wikipedia page and see how we did?
Sometimes it's nice to rub Velcro on your face.
Explain, because I do not share that sentiment at all.
Like, you take the spiky side and you just kind of rub it on your face and it feels nice. Like, you know how cats rub their face on stuff?
Sure.
Like that. I don't know. I just remember doing that a lot as a kid when I had more access to Velcro. I mean, I guess I have the same amount of access, if not more access to Velcro now as an adult, but it was just around a lot less. It's around a lot less now than it was as a wee lad.
Right. You ever buy Velcro tape?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Velcro tape. I guess that's how Velcro... I mean, I guess all Velcro is like Velcro tape,
probably,
right?
Most of it.
I don't know. Anyways, I just pulled up the Wikipedia page. Shortest Wikipedia page we've ever seen.
What's up? Wikipedia, we win.
Yeah, I mean, we might. All right.
That's a paragraph.
Well, hold on. This is the Wikipedia page about a company. There is a disambiguation page, which is going to be a lot longer. But this is to underscore the fact that there is a privately held company called Velcro. It produces a series of mechanical-based fastening products, including fabric hook-and-loop fasteners under the name brand of Velcro.
So that's what we want. We don't want the company.
We don't.
We're cheating if we stick with this one.
Yeah, so we're going to click over to the disambiguation.
Get them nasty little hooks.
So it is the... Velcro is the trademark name for the fabric brand hook and loop fastener. So we are on the hook and loop fastener Facebook page.
Keep it generic. Ooh, that's some nice close-up imagery.
Yeah, so decent-sized page at first glance.
Kids' shoes. I see them in a picture.
Yep, three pictures. There's the hooks, there's the loops, and there's kids' shoes, which I feel like in our narrative we totally covered.
Yeah.
Right? So
hooks and loops.
Yeah, we're pretty tied right now. All right, here we go. The hook and loop fastener, hook and loop pile fastener, or touch fastener consists of two components, typically two lineal fabric strips. Yeah.
Hooks
or,
and loops.
Or alternatively, round dots or squares, which are attached, sewn, or otherwise adhered to the opposing surfaces to be fastened. The first component features tiny hooks. The second feature even smaller and, quote, hairier loops.
So dense.
When the two components are pressed together, the hooks catch the loops, and the two pieces fasten or bind temporarily. During that time, they are pressed together. When separated by pulling or peeling, the strips make a distinctive ripping sound. Yeah. End quotation.
Just like Jamie and Tommy.
Yeah. All right.
We've covered this.
We have. So I would argue, we never said hoop and hook and loop.
I think we use the phrases hooks and loops.
I mean, we came close enough that I feel like
I've said hook.
Right.
I also said docking.
All right. So this is where it's going to get controversial at glance. Doesn't appear that we were accurate with our history. So let's find out.
Agree to disagree.
So the original hook and loop fastener was conceived in 1941. We said 1924, so I feel like maybe they just didn't look far enough back.
Right. That's all the same thing, basically.
Yep. Conceived in 1941 by Swiss engineer George de Mestral.
Better known as Tommy Velocity. Look, people use nicknames all the time.
It's true. The idea came to him one day after returning from a hunting trip with his dog in the Alps. He took a close look at the burrs of burdock that kept sticking to his clothes and the dog's fur. He examined them under a microscope, noted their hundreds of hooks that caught on anything with a loop, such as clothing, animal fur, or hair. Or braces and a dense beard.
And a dense beard, yeah. Obviously.
I mean, this is sort of a push right here. People refuse to take him seriously at first. It's sort of like when you're making out with someone and they turn a fire hose on
you. Will you two stop dry humping and trying to sell me sticky fasteners?
Yeah, nobody took them seriously.
That's what they said.
He managed to gain the help of a weaver who made cotton strips, and that worked for him, but it wore out quickly. So he turned to synthetic fibers, dare I say protopolymers.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for the assist, Bottom the Weaver.
Yeah, he settled on nylon being the best synthetic. It doesn't break, rot, or attract.
Fucking cram it, other synthetic.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Nylon or bust.
Suck it. All right.
I'm rayon. Fuck off, rayon.
Yeah. Eat my butt, rayon. However, he had yet to figure out a way to mechanize the process of making the loop side. So it took him a long time, is basically.
Now it just sounds like it's a transformer.
Yeah. Mechanize Velcro.
Velcro, roll out. Make things stick together, but only for a little bit.
All right, here you go. This is a fun noteworthy.
I'll be the judge of what's fun.
All right, well, judge this, right? Columnist Sylvia Porter made the first mention of the product in her column, Your Money's Worth, on August 25th, 1958, writing, and I quote, "It is with understandable enthusiasm that I give you today an exclusive report on this news. A zipperless zipper has been invented
14 years ago.
Finally.
Finally.
The new fastening device is in many ways potentially more revolutionary than was the zipper a quarter century ago," end quote.
Calm down, Sylvia.
Yeah, I mean, she's really pumped about a zipper. Zippers are pretty great.
Right, zippers are fine.
Like, we can have zippers and Velcro coexist. There's no
Sylvia
reason.
Sylvia was the pre-TV version of that thing in infomercials where they're like, oh, have you ever tried to do this thing that everyone does every day with absolutely no problem?
Right.
There's got to be a better way. Like, zippers are crushing it.
Right. Yeah. So then there's talk about how a number of Velcro Corporation products were displayed, yada, yada, yada. Astronauts, aerospace industry.
Told you, if you heard that episode and didn't believe me.
Right. Later improvements included strengthening the filament by adding polyester.
Get in there, polyester. Not as good as nylon, but like,
no, but you combine their powers together, like a Power Rangers Megazord.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'll form the head.
All right.
I know that's Voltron. Don't email me.
You want to give your email address out so they don't email you?
I mean, it's publicly available.
That's true.
It's gofuckoff@don'temailmeever.com.
You're having a day, aren't you?
Look, yes.
Is your head better?
No.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
That's not how migraines work. They don't get better while you podcast.
I don't know. I've never had a migraine while I podcasted before. Maybe it would have worked.
I think I have. Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
If the Geekosystem podcast is still available anywhere, there's at least one episode where I'm fighting a migraine, which just it makes for great audio content because although then that might have been before I had drugs. I might have just been full on in pain.
Maybe.
Wondering why my coworkers were making me do this.
Well, you're here on your own free will today, right. So I appreciate it. I'm going to skip over the section on strength. Because
who gives a shit?
Yeah, I don't. I don't give a shit. But there is a section called
strength, pretty strong, I guess, sometimes.
If you
want to. It's a surface area question.
There is a section here called advantages and disadvantages.
Disadvantages.
I'm very interested in this.
I don't see it. There's no disadvantages.
Well, it's not permanent. It's not a permanent.
But that's an advantage.
Yeah, but sometimes advantages and disadvantages are the same thing, man. It just depends on which way you're looking at it.
Advantage, never learn to tie your shoes. Disadvantage,
never learn to tie your shoes.
It's fine. Just don't buy shoes that need to be tied or have children or work in a school setting.
You and I both, we know a guy who is in his mid-20s who doesn't ever wear shoes that tie, possibly for that reason. I've never asked him about it.
I don't know who of whom.
I'll tell you off the air. I don't want to blow up a spot.
Okay, but just know that the very next episode after you do that, I'm just screaming his name into the microphone.
Okay, great. That's on you, not me. All right, yeah. So according to Wikipedia, touch fasteners are easy to use, they're safe,
yeah,
and they're maintenance-free. There's only a minimum decline in the effectiveness, even after many fastening and unfastenings.
You just go right ahead to disadvantages on this one.
There are some deficiencies. Mm. It tends to accumulate hair, dust, and fur in its hooks after a few months. Well, I mean, if you're not a fan of dirt and dust and
cares?
Dander.
Okay. It still gets all up in there, all the bits and stuff.
Yeah, but you're potentially keeping
it gets dirty.
Allergens.
Oh, yeah, but you know what else sometimes attracts dust and hair and dirt? Everything in the whole entire world.
That's fair, Glenn. That is
fair. You know what's a disadvantage of John Lunger? Sometimes he's got some hair on him.
It's true.
Let's get him out of here.
As John Lunger, I can confirm that my hair is definitely a disadvantage.
It's not
general.
Your hair. Other people's hair sometimes gets on you. And,
oh, yeah.
And somehow that's a point against you. I don't know the zipper people are editing this Wikipedia page.
The Whitcomb L. Judson fan club.
Judson, get off this Wikipedia. You can't make edits, Judson. Enough.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's dead, but whatever.
He's going to be when I get to him for defacing the good name of Velcro, saying there's disadvantages where there aren't any.
All right, here's some more disadvantages. The hooks often become attached to articles of clothing, especially loosely woven items like sweaters. So shit gets stuck that you don't want it stuck to.
Look. Sticky stuff's going to stick, baby. It's just let it do what it do.
Okay, here's one more. Disadvantage for you. The tearing noise made by unfastening the hooks and loop fasteners may be inappropriate in some settings.
Like
if you went to see a quiet place. If you went to see a quiet place and you opened your Super Mario Brothers Velcro wallet with a lenticular image of Mario getting coins on the front of it, that would be an inappropriate place to open your
Velcro.
That's
a great example. What's the worst place for Velcro noise?
Probably around your butthole.
If your butthole made a Velcro noise?
Yeah.
No.
No,
I mean,
that's not the worst place. That's a bad place.
But the it has to be produced by actual Velcro. What's a bad setting? I got one, but I want to see what you come up with.
A bad setting for hearing Velcro being unlipped.
Yeah.
Unzipped, right? Okay.
Do we have anything that has Velcro on it in this office right now?
I don't think we do. I mean, the zipper contingency is really winning out, if I'm being honest.
Do you?
Oh, our guest Leah is.
Oh. I'm gonna edit this part out, but I'm gonna use it. Perfect.
Oh, that's great.
I'm gonna use that to sell a joke in a minute.
Okay, great. You know what? I'm gonna just stick with my quiet movie. Like that would drive me nuts. That's
you're
a
sitting
bad place.
In a quiet movie, and someone then a chubby little 10-year-old's like, "I need some more nerds."
Yeah, and they hate
and
that.
And then he opens it up.
Yeah, don't like that.
Here's my suggestion for worst place.
Okay.
Okay, this is gonna be a rare act out for me. Mr. Longer, thank you for coming down to the morgue today.
Absolutely, it's my pleasure to be here.
I know this never gets easier, but. Is this Glenn Tickle? And then they open the body bag, and it's me.
That's actually a great question. I feel like there might be zipper on body bags.
There's zippers because Velcro would be way. Yeah. You're like, oh, is this your brother? And
yeah, but the zipper's bad sound
because it'd be so
right?
long. But the Velcro would be so much Velcro.
I'm actually more upset that my reaction to was, oh, pleasure to be here. Like I was on some goddamn late night talk show called The Morgue. Actually, great copyright, trademark copyright,
yeah,
John and Glenn.
TM,
yeah,
TM.
we're gonna do that show. It's the morgue. We're gonna bring on celebrity guests and we're gonna show
Ben
them corpses
we're
and
gonna
have
bring
them identify
on dead
them.
Celebrity guests.
Yeah, it's great. This is great. Well, that brings us sort of to the end of it. There's a section on variations, which I honestly don't give a fuck about.
Who cares?
There's,
keep it OG.
There's three links to standards. There's standards for making Velcro.
Yeah, you can't just get sloppy with your loops.
Hell no, and your hooks.
Yeah, get them hooks tight.
And then there is a section that I don't understand, so we got to read it out loud. I was wrong.
Can't imagine.
Hook and loop jumping is a game where people wear hook-covered suits and take a running jump and hurl themselves as high as possible on a hook-covered wall. It made it. It made the actual Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it?
It's
one of the best uses for Velcro.
I didn't trust the Wikipedia community because you and I are so much better than them.
It made its way into several 90s sitcoms when it originated. When the first person's like, you know what? Velcro's not that expensive. let's staple a bunch of this shit to the wall,
right,
make a little suit out of it, and then we'll have Urkel do it.
Who do you think that they give credit for? What famous person do they give credit for immortalizing the jumping into a wall in a Velcro suit?
Someone from Cody from Step by Step.
Oh, no, no, no. Let me give you some more context. 1984. It was a talk show.
I mean, Carson did weird stuff. I don't know if he's
so close. David Letterman.
Oh, yeah. I can't see Carson launching himself into a thing.
Yeah. There's a new paragraph afterwards that starts with the phrase, jumping goes beyond David Letterman, though. Which
other people in history have jumped.
So there you have it. I don't know. I feel like in a lot of ways this is a tie.
Yeah. I was going to lie and say that we did real good and won for sure, definitely. But it does, if I'm being honest with myself, feels like a tie. It feels like we're the loops and they're the hooks.
Yeah,
and
I just read something on the bottom of their Wikipedia page.
Did it say
like
great job?
It's so good.
Does it say
no.
Judged and Rules?
There's a bullet point and it says, 2002, the Star Trek Enterprise episode Carbon Creek portrays Velcro as being introduced to human society by Vulcans in 1957.
Vulcans don't fuck with Velcro. There's no way. It doesn't make any sense.
Also, they did not do a good job researching when Velcro
Vulcans, like,
was
magnets.
Actually.
Magnets.
Yeah, I mean, 1957, not a great. They should have gone with 1941, right? Like when that Swiss engineer actually, or you know, 1924,
right,
when Tommy Velocity and
right, that Sylvia
Jamie Crowbar.
Sylvia in the '50s was all hyped about it as if it was brand new. It was in the '40s, baby. It was real. I mean, really,
24. Really, yeah.
Once Tommy Velocity and Jamie Crowbar got in there,
all
smashing
right,
their stuff together.
Well, I'm gonna call it. It's a tie. That brings the score: John and Glenn 2, Wikipedia 3, tie 2.
Come on,
yeah, man.
Don't do me dirty like that.
So we end this episode the way that we end every episode, by coming up with a faked fact that we would leave on the official Wikipedia page and try and pass off as real.
I say, and we can leave this up to her, obviously. I think we have Aaliyah Brown pop in for a moment and suggest the fake fact.
Yeah, love it.
We left on the Wikipedia page.
You on board?
Page.
All right.
In prototypes for making athletes' cleats, Velcro was first used, but then was quickly replaced by actual human teeth, which then was quickly replaced by the whatever cleats are made out of.
Love it. I love it. Dead giveaway is going to be by whatever cleats are made of at the end of it. I love it.
Not the human teeth.
Oh, man.
That would be a real fun game, I think. Velcro shoe racing?
Velcro shoe racing would be very fun.
The bot, your soul.
Trademark,
the
John and Glenn.
Yeah, TM, TM, TM. Don't steal it. We're going to set up a track outside of Bounce U.
All the balloon drops you fucking want, too. Yeah. Take
free
that,
balloon
you
drops.
Terrible. Take that, Jeremy's mom.
Jeremy!
All right, so thanks for listening, everybody. A reminder to do all the things that you're supposed to do with podcasts. They say it at the end of or the beginning
you
of every
know.
Podcast. Like, I don't, you just know at this
you
point.
You know what to do.
So do it.
That's like people who leave voicemail instructions. You get it.
Yeah, right?
You're in the future, baby.
Hey, call me back. Yeah, I fucking know.
Well, don't ever leave me a voicemail. I already told you can't email me. If you telephone me and you leave me a voicemail, I'm not going to listen to it. I might glance the bad Siri transcription.
Love bad Siri transcriptions.
One time it told me that Pat Jansen couldn't make it to an open mic because Bill Clinton told him he had diarrhea. And Bill Clinton was not involved in the real story, but Pat Jansen genuinely called me to leave me a voicemail to tell me he would be late to an open mic because he had real bad diarrhea.
Pat Jansen is an American treasure.
I miss that boy.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.